Sometimes we can get caught up in all the terminology that we have for Jesus Christ, whether he is the bread or the blood, or whether he is the sacrificial lamb, or whether he is simply our brother. And as I was preparing for this Sunday and reading the scriptures, the phrase, "I am not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters," struck me as profound. Because in our culture today, shaming is one of the things that we love to do. We love to shame people. And shame is different from guilt. I just want to be clear, because you can feel guilty about something that you did wrong. And once you atone for that guilt, once you repent of that sin, the guilt goes away. Shame is an emotion that moves deep into your soul, and it gets to those dark and deep places, so that as soon as someone criticizes you, you move to shame. Guilt is, "I did something wrong, I am guilty." Shame is, "I am..." Have you ever heard the expression, "Aren't you ashamed of yourself?" Shame is about who we are. Guilt is about what we did. And shame is one of the most harmful emotions we have. Because when we feel ashamed, think about our body posture when we're ashamed. Our shoulders come in, our heads go down. People tend to walk a little bit like this because you don't want anyone to notice you because you're ashamed of who you are. Rolling eyes at one another can sometimes cause people to feel shame. What, do I look wrong? What if I said something wrong? And remember, it's always, shame is always about who we are. But when we accept God's love and God's grace in our lives, when we are washed in the blood of Jesus, Jesus sees us just as we are. With all the things the world might shame us about, Jesus still sees us, and Jesus loves us so much that he died for us, so much that he can say, "For this reason, I am not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters." Jesus sees no shame in being related to any one of us. Often we put Jesus here in this place of Lord and Savior and almost untouchable. The humanity of Christ goes away because he is our Lord. But in this passage in Hebrews, the author wants to remind us, no, Jesus came to earth, became flesh, became blood, died on the cross so that we could have life, died, suffered and died so that when we are in that place of suffering and shame, we know he is there holding us in his arms and loving us. That Jesus Christ walked this earth so that we could no longer fear death, so that we could no longer be the instrument through which the devil could harm others. We could be free of the devil and free of any fear in this world because we had a relationship with God the Father through our Son, Jesus Christ. Here I am and the children whom God has given me. He's there in the midst of brothers and sisters praying to the Lord. Christ, our Lord, is Jesus, our brother, and he is not ashamed. Think how powerful those words are. That Jesus is not ashamed of you. Just stop for a moment and think of those times when you have been ashamed of yourself, when you have been shamed by others, and the space that puts you in, when you could be this big person with shoulders back, chin up, okay, core engaged. And shame hits, and suddenly you move into, you try to get your spot as small as you possibly can so that maybe no one will notice that you're there. Jesus wants you fully engaged. He doesn't want fear. He doesn't want shame. He doesn't want anything impinging on who God created you to be. I am not ashamed to be in the midst of my brothers and sisters. He was the pioneer of our salvation, made perfect through suffering. Perfect is another word that gets us in trouble, isn't it? Perfect almost leads us to shame when we can't get the bulletin right, even when we fix the one error and found a new one. Made perfect is about completion. When he died on the cross and rose and joined our Father in heaven, he was completing the process of our salvation. He was made perfect through his suffering. Our salvation was perfected through his suffering. But he knew us. He knew us, the descendants of Abraham, for who we are. We're sinners, aren't we? Come sinners to the gospel feast. Come be my guest. Come here at my table. I can't wait to feed you. And in John, we've been hearing how he is the blood and the body, and that we have to feast. We have to feast on the gift of grace that is Jesus Christ. But I guess for me, the reason why I picked those two words, not ashamed, this morning, is because the work I have in the midst of ministry, I see where shame has done so much damage. To people, to families, that we're afraid to be vulnerable. We're afraid to share the things that hurt us, the things that, the mistakes we've made. We're so afraid that we might be judged by them, that we don't speak to the community that can surround us and support us and lift us up, and maybe we all grow stronger by our vulnerability. Instead, we fear the shaming. And so in the midst of it all, we still remain somewhat crippled, maybe working on getting those shoulders back, but not quite certain we want to do full posture just yet, afraid that someone might call us arrogant. Community is a powerful thing. We've heard a testimony this morning from Sally, how community has lifted her daughter up. There's a study out about the duns in church. I don't know if you know what a dun is. They're the ones who are done with church. Now, they're not people that just sat in the pews and finally got tired and decided to be done with this and do something else on Sunday morning. A dun is someone who has been vital in the church leadership, has been vital in the education process, in the ministries, but has been shamed so much that they're done with the institutional church. They're not done with God and Jesus Christ, but they're done with the church. Now there's a new group out called the Almost Duns. The Almost Duns are still with us. The Almost Duns and the Duns both want community. They want it where they can be held in those vulnerable times, those times when they might feel shame, but know that they are loved and know that God and Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call them brother or call them sister. They want a community that guides them, that supports them, that helps them through that difficult time and doesn't talk about them after they've walked out of the room, because some of them know that happens. They want a community that allows them to make mistakes in leadership and says, it's okay. We learned from it. What did we learn? And we move forward. A community that shows them Christ in everything they do, that lives out the gospel message of God's amazing salvific grace, that teaches how Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is communal and wants us in community, supporting and loving one another. Because as the letter said this morning, I will proclaim your name, God, to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. If the done's and the almost done's are gone, where is the body in which we praise the Lord together? This morning, my prayer is that we remember in those moments that Jesus is not ashamed to call us brother, not ashamed to call us sister, and wants that same for us, to look at one another and say, brother and sister in Christ, I praise God's name that you are part of this community, that you step up into this leadership, that even though you're bumbling through it, you said yes, and I'm here to support you. How can I help you? That says, yes, you're struggling with this issue in your life, but I am here to walk beside you. That says, yes, sister, I am praying for you. That says, yes, brother, I am here in your school helping you. That says, yes to one another. We are in this together because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're going to reach out and touch you and pray for you and help you along the way, because you don't need to be ashamed of who you are, because you are a child of God, beloved by God, beautifully and wonderfully made just as you are, no matter what that looks like. Jesus is not ashamed of us, his brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't need to be ashamed of ourselves. And we don't need to cast shame on others, because the gift is joy. The gift is sheer joy to sing and praise and dance. In fact, the real reading for this morning was Ephesians. And I want to share this last thing, maybe last thing. It says, be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs amongst yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts. Give thanks to God the Father at all times for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If Christ is not ashamed of us, we don't need to be either. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.